Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. You know, I saw a report the other day on TV, and it was a little bit disturbing, and I don't think a lot of people know about it, and I want to bring it up because this may be some useful information. The people who deal in the mental health industry, they're very concerned because they've been dispensing, you know, antidepressants and psychotropic drugs and so forth to treat now for many, many years, and they're starting to see that, well, basically it's not working. Suicide rates are going up. Mental health issues are rising, and they really don't know what to do about it. They didn't say it like that, but that's pretty much what they're getting at. They can't figure out why it's not working, but they wanted people to realize a couple of things. One thing they wanted people to realize is it's just like as if you were to have diabetes and you take medication for that, that medicine doesn't cure diabetes. It just helps with it. And that's the way antidepressants are and other drugs as such. They don't really cure depression. They just help with the situation. And then they've discovered there are people who have adverse effects, almost a reverse effect to antidepressants. Some people I know that can drink coffee and it makes them sleepy. And it seems like some of these antidepressants are causing a reaction that is, it's causing horrifying situations where people on these antidepressants and or psychotropic drugs, especially young people, are turning into suicidal thoughts and murdercidal, they call it murdercidal thoughts. Man, what are we going to do with our young people, guys? What are we going to do with our kids? This is a very scary situation to think about because they're the future. And nobody has any answers. I know I did a radio blog last week talking about how you think the government has the answers and they're protecting you. And, you know, and after I've worked with the government hands-on, it's very true. I can tell you they don't really have the answers. They're doing the best they can, but they don't really have the answers to everything. And, you know, you may have a little bit of a false hope in the government. I'm not knocking the government, at least not right now. Hey, I'm Native American. What can I say? But I'm telling you, you're going to have to seek other reasoning methods and alternatives and really search out answers on your own. That's what I'm getting at. I want to tell you about my friend Bob Sakata. Bob Sakata is an onion farmer, and I did a story with him. I interviewed him when I worked for Fox News here in Denver. He is, we'll put it this way, every time you go to a store in and around Colorado and the surrounding states and you buy an onion, it's probably an onion from from Bob Sakata's farm. And he was an elder man, even when I interviewed him. He's in his 90s now. And I was very interested to get the scoop on his life that I had no clue about. I mean, here's this very successful onion farmer with over 2,400 acres of land. He's an award-winning farmer, for lack of a better way to put it. But, you know, I didn't realize upon interviewing him that him and his family were interned in a Japanese, what we call Japanese concentration camps or internment camps. I mean, we even have one out here in eastern Colorado called the Amachi internment camp that I did visit. And, you know, it's sad. I mean, there's just a sad heaviness in the air at that Amachi internment camp. And I've been to a lot of sad places. I tell you what, this place was sad. It's not even what they had, because really they just have the foundation now that the buildings were on. It's just open space, basically. There's really nothing to see to make you sad. It's just what you feel. I mean, it's just heavy. You walk that area and you just feel such heaviness. So, you know, I had a great respect for Bob Sakata when he told me that him and his family were interned at a Japanese camp here in the United States. And then after World War II, you know, like many of the Japanese people, they went on about to do really good things in their life, and some of them became very wealthy because they quickly rose to high levels in the business world. And, you know, I look at that dynamic, and I can't help but think How is it that some people are just wired to come out of something so horrifying and then just do so good? And then there are other people who can never get over that hurdle and spend the rest of their lives, you know, being screwed over by their memories. How is that possible? You know, guys, everybody has something. If you're a human being that has ever walked this planet, you've got something. There's something that can be a memory that's not very pleasant. And I'm convinced that you have the choice to either be screwed over by your memories every day or realize that your memories don't define who you are. You see, what you do defines who you are. What you do defines who you are. We have free will, and it's up to us how we want to have this mindfulness of our own personal mental health. Did a little bit of research on that. I see that now, especially in Colorado, because we have such horrible issues with people, you know, school shootings, you just name it, just horrible situations, where they're starting to incorporate what they call mindfulness even into the classes of children who are in kindergarten. They're starting to teach them kind of how to have their own little time out when the thoughts become overload in their head and they can't think straight and they have panic and anxiety. They're starting to teach them how to control and deal with that in hopes that in 10 years or so, they're not going to come back and have to go on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications. That they'll be able to learn if they keep putting these courses in the public school system on how to deal with mental health issues, because it's such a tremendous problem. Not just in Colorado, but all over the country, it's just a problem. So that's interesting. I mean, I'm actually glad to see that they're starting to teach mindfulness in that aspect. You know, I don't want them getting into a lot of the stuff that a lot of the mindfulness will get into at that age, because it's an infringement upon sometimes these kids and their families' spiritual rights, and I don't think we need to do that. But as a mental health, a health exercise, I think that's a great idea. You know, it's just a very interesting reasoning and understanding that we can actually choose how we want to think. You know, in the Bible, it says to think about the things that are pure, good, and lovely in your life, things that are honest and true. The Bible in the book of Philippians actually says that we are supposed to think on these good, positive things. You know, you've heard the power of positive thinking that's been around since, what, the 70s or so. That was a big thing, and it's very true, because you can actually, your brain is so powerful, you can actually think things into existence. I know I've done it. I've actually done it, and I think I've gone over my life story and putting things into gear when I was a young person coming out of nothing. And, you know, I look back today and go, wow. How did I do that? I mean, how did I come out of nothing to beat, you know, 6,000 people to get a TV job? Nothing was instilled in me to make me feel like necessarily a worthy person of anything. Honestly, I still kind of struggle with that, feeling like a worthy person. I mean, you know, I'm very grateful. I get a lot of awards, especially in the martial arts industry. My friend just said to me, every time I turn it around, you're getting another award for something. And I go, yeah, and you know, you're right, but I wish I could feel it. I wish I could feel it. I can't feel it. And I don't know what that is, a block, something from my past. I don't know. Very grateful, and I'm very honored. But it's not the worst thing in the world, because it does keep me humble, to say the least. But you know what? When the Bible says to concentrate all these good things that have happened to you and all the good things that will happen to you, that's mindfulness that was put in a book 3,000 to 6,000 years ago. And I know there's a lot of New Age techniques out there. And, you know, guys, I get on my soapbox about New Age because basically as an ordained chaplain, I feel like they've ripped off the Bible and put it in modern terms and just ran with it. Because everything they say, Jesus or God has already said. including positive thinking, or or thinking good, lovely things, or putting good thoughts on things and people. I mean, the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so is he. I mean, you can't get any straightforward than that. What you think you're going to be, exactly what you think is what you're going to be. I do a lot of counseling. I have people that I have counseled since like the 90s, okay? And they still call me like clockwork wanting counseling over the same stinking thing over and over and over. Finally, I had to let them go. I said, "What? How many years, 20, 30 years, how many years has it been here that I've been giving you the exact same message? But it's not sticking. It's not working for you. I'm giving you the answers. You agree. You think they're powerful. But then as time goes by, nothing happens. I'm at the point now where I can't help you anymore because you're not out of your own free will choosing to make it work. If you've ever been in therapy, and I'm raising my hand because I have, it's a lot of hard work. There's not a therapist that tells you the answers, what to do or how to do. They tell you what your homework is, and then you got to go do it. You have to do it of your own free choosing. You have to actually make changes, and sometimes they're hard or very painful changes to change the way you even think. But you know it's the right thing to do, and you do it. But there are people out there who won't change. They won't change the way they think. For some reason, it's comforting, and it's easier for them to sit in this pile of crap. So they do it. And they recess all the way back. My mom did this. Because my mom did this, I am like this. Or my dad, or my sisters, or my brother, whatever. I call it being screwed over by your memories every single day. And you can make that executive decision to not let that happen to you. You can understand that it's not your memories who make who you are. It's what you do that makes who you are. You can have that type of mindfulness and focus on good, positive things that have happened in your life. Confess that good things are going to happen in your life. If I get someone that I've counseled for 20 years and they call and go, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, I'm not doing so good." You know, you're just speaking that on yourself. I mean, this is all stuff that's in the Bible. Out of your mouth will come life or death, says the book of Proverbs. You're speaking these things on yourself. You want to change the atmosphere around you. Start with what comes out of your mouth. What time is it? Okay, I got time. Let's do this. And I'm going to get real Jesus-y. I'm going to take this a little bit deeper here. You know, mental health, spiritual issues, sometimes it's a fine line. Sometimes it's a fine line. That's what I've discovered. But, you know, you got to be careful what you say, because when you speak these things in the atmosphere, guys, I've told you before, you attract spirits. When you say negative, evil things, you attract negative, evil things. I was in radio for 12 years as an air personality before I got into television, and I started young. I'm not 210, okay? I started really young. I was a teenager. I was like 15. And, you know, music is very interesting because you can listen to certain types of music, and it's the conversation of your soul music. And it can change everything about you. It can make you cry. It can make you laugh. It can make you feel good, make you feel really bad. I'm even at the point where I really don't even listen to music anymore. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm so spiritually sensitive, I don't even listen to most music. I rarely do. I pick a certain, you know, I walk 3 miles a day, and I have my little music picked out already on my phone and everything that I walk to and stuff, but you would be very surprised at what I listen to. It's not a particular genre, but it is particular compositions or songs that were written that are going to make my soul feel good. Because when you play negative music, you're attracting negative spirits. You can attract evil into your atmosphere. And then some people say, you know, just everything bad happens to me. If it's going to be something bad, it's going to happen to me. Nothing good. It's always a bad day for me. things always go wrong for me. The fact that you're even acknowledging that, you're attracting negativity, negative force, evil spirits, whatever you want to call it. You're attracting it, and it's not good. And guess what? It's going to make things worse in your life because it changes your atmosphere. It makes things worse in your own little personal world when you speak these things out loud, when you think these things. Because before the tongue is the brain will send the message to the tongue, and the tongue will flap. If you're going to open your mouth, make sure you're going to say good things, not things out of fear. Talk about the good times, the good memories, the good people. Talk about all the good things and the potential that you have and how it's going to take you even farther in life. Body, mind, spirit, money, relationships, and health. You speak those things, always speak good things on yourself and in your world. Speak good things in your home. Speak good things on other people. That's called blessing them. Bless your children. Bless your family members. Bless your spouse. Bless your home. Bless other people's home. I laugh because, you know, I'm originally from the South, and in the South, they still use that saying, well, bless your heart. You know, if you don't know this, the people in the South do know this, but bless your heart is not a compliment in the South, guys. Bless your heart is someone who kind of is looking down on you a little bit and thinking that's pitiful. You are a pitiful person. Yeah, that's just a Southern lingo thing. We all know it, but most people that aren't in the South don't know it. Oh, thank you. She blessed me. Well, not really, not in the South with that. Every time I give a speech now, I always end it with God bless you. I do that for a reason. You think I'm doing it for other people? I'm actually not. I'm doing it for me. Because I have now put out in the atmosphere something that's very powerful that's going to come back to me in a good way. See, blessings are boomerangs. They return. So when you bless other people and you say, God bless you, as much as you can, it boomerangs right back to you. And I couldn't be happier. There are a lot of things when it comes to how the spiritual realm operates that you need to learn so that you can do good and do better and grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I didn't make that up. That's also in the Bible. Study to show yourself approved. Make sure you learn. You know, in martial arts, I mean, we spend years learning this trade, learning the fighting arts, learning how to teach it. You know, we spend 12 years in basic school, not to mention college or anything else. You know, we spend every single day working on our bodies. You've got to study to show yourself approved in the spirit realm, guys. You need to learn these things. I'll tell you something that I wasn't going to tell you. Chaplain Karen really doesn't go to any particular church. People ask me where I go because I do a lot of ministry work. I do a lot of counseling. And I kind of don't really know what to say except to say that I have church every day. Because it's true, I do. Ask people who know me, they'll tell you. I'm always talking it, speaking it, and thinking it. A lot of times there are actual churches that are not giving you the food that you need. If you get something out of it, you need to go. But if you are equating whether or not you're a good church-going person to how whether or not you're going to get into heaven, you're sadly mistaken. Because going to church has nothing to do with getting into heaven, guys. It's what you do with the insurance plan of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you do or don't go to church. You know, and again, if you do go to church, that's honorable. I have my own ways of honoring that whole system that a lot of people know about, but it's not me physically being present. And unfortunately, there are a lot of ministers out there that aren't good enough, in my opinion, to be holding that position. And I say that with all humility, because a good pastor is going to tell the truth, even if people don't want to hear it. And it's very hard to find a pastor like that. Pastor is shepherd, pastor of a pasture, watching over the flock of sheep, making sure the wolf doesn't come in and grab one, has that big staff to go and rescue the sheep. That's what a pastor is. And sometimes it's painful what a pastor has to do, but he needs to do it to save that sheep. He has to go get the sheep out of the thicket and the, you know, the brush, because the sheep's trying to go its own way, and that's not the right way, and it's dangerous. I don't ever want to be a pastor, because it's a lot of hands-on with a lot of people if you do it right. You need to be working with them hands-on, sometimes one-on-one. That's what a pastor does. But I don't mind being a chaplain, a minister. I don't mind doing that, helping people with the way that God wired me to do it. But there are a lot of people in an institution of a beautiful church building that aren't getting what they need because the person in charge isn't doing their job. And I hope you're listening. I hope I have pastors listening. I have a lot of pastor friends. I hope that you understand that you were called into a position of pastorship because you have to say things that you know people don't want to hear, but they got to anyway, just like a karate teacher, a good coach. Now, you don't want to kick like that. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to throw your hip out and your lower back out if you keep kicking like that with that bottom leg not correctly situated. You don't want to punch like that. You're going to break your knuckles. See, a good instructor or coach will say that in class. Now, if all I cared about was whether or not they're going to pay me my next monthly tuition, I'd turn my head and watch them go at it. What do I care? They signed a waiver. I don't care. But I do care, so I'm going to take the time to correct them. And that's what a good pastor that has a flock will do. They will tell them the things that they need to know to get through this world, all the spiritual tricks of the trade, all the tools they need to know to learn to get through this world so they cross over and get into eternity. Because there's a lot that you need to know on how it works. And by the same token, you need to support, ladies and gentlemen, the people who give you your spiritual food. Very simple. If you don't, that source may go away. That source may go away because it takes support to keep people running, to keep ships afloat. Always support the people that give you the spiritual food. You pay your karate teacher, don't you? You pay for your college tuition. Pay for the people who teach you and give you your spiritual food, whoever it is. They deserve it. They're helping you change your life. But yet I see so many people that won't do that. And they'll go to church and they want to be fed spiritual things, but they won't even put a dollar in the offering plate. That's wrong. If you're going there for spiritual food, you need to put some money in the plate. I mean, they got bills to pay. I don't worry about that because I don't go to church. No. I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying you got to find a place to get your spiritual food. I hope it's at your church, but if it isn't, then you need to find a place to get it. All right, what time is it now? All right. Coming on the back end of this show here. Choose, ladies and gentlemen, to think good thoughts and say good things so you will have the attractiveness to attract all the other good things that are going to help you. Make your life better. Don't be screwed over by your memories of all the things that happened. I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody do good that does that. I got to catch myself. I mean, something will trigger me of a memory that sometimes I haven't remembered since I was really little. It makes me mad. It makes me mad that there was so little concern about the well-being of me as a child. I get mad at that. I got to go, stop, Karen. Stop. You're not defined by your memories. You're defined by what you're doing, what you do. That's what matters. All right, guys, got some stuff coming up, but I really am not sure if exactly what yet, just stuff brewing. You know, stuff brews, but it's not solidified, so you don't want to say anything. But trust me, stuff's coming up. I hope I get to see you. I'll let you know when I 100% have solidified some stuff. In the meantime, you know, you can read my books. I got 4 of them out there. And I appreciate your support with my monthly karate magazines. Thank you so much for that, for reading my columns. And I've had over 20 years now. As time continues to fly by. Hope I helped you. Hope you learned something. I'll just say it to you like I say to everybody else. God bless you. Let that boomerang back to me. We'll see you next time on The Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.